Lord Jesus Christ, by your blessed word and holy baptism, you have mercifully cleansed the hearts of all who believe on you from the terrible leprosy of sin. We thank you for daily granting us help in all our needs. By your Holy Spirit, enlighten our hearts that we never forget the many blessings you give us each day, but that we live in your love, trusting in your grace and promises, and with thankful hearts praise and glorify you, both now and in eternity. We pray this in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is written in the 17th chapter of Luke, beginning at the 11th verse, and reads as follows, in Jesus' name. Now it happened that as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of the Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw him, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down upon his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered him and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear people in need of God's mercy, we might think that the hymn that you just sang was written by somebody who was in the 1800s, who was living in a big city, who had a pastorate life, and life did not have any troubles. That impression would be wrong. Paul Gerhardt lived in the time of dire necessity. He was a pastor in a German town when the plague, the Black Plague, came through his town. He buried his wife, as well as many of the members, 2 or 3 funerals a day. This was also the time during the 30 Years' War. And he even experienced himself where he had to flee the town and the enemy took the walls and was shooting at him as he crossed the river to escape them. Here was a man who lived with sorrow, grief, and affliction. And yet look at the words that he wrote, that trusted in God for everything. I'd like to switch gears a little bit, and some of you may have been old enough to see the movie Ben-Hur in the theaters. Others may have seen it on TV later on. That movie, at the end, Ben-Hur comes back to Israel and he finds his mother and his sister in a leper colony. And he tries to get this person healed. And he brings his mother and sister to Jerusalem. And he tries to reach out to Jesus, but Jesus is on his way to the cross, to Golgotha. And at the end of the movie, Ben-Hur and his leprous mother and sister are in a cave. They're weeping because Jesus is on the cross and is dead, and there is no help. But in the movie, the rain is falling, and the blood washes down from the cross into the cave and makes the two well. Now that's a story, but it wants to point and highlight just how dealing with leprosy is in those days, how that attitude of despair was there, and how it was the living death. And today in our text, we are confronted with 10 people who have leprosy, that same issue of death. They cry out to Jesus. And today we want to study how Jesus blesses a cry of faith. And we see that it is a cry for mercy that is answered, and a cry of thanksgiving that is blessed. The incident in our text occurs on Jesus' last journey from Galilee down to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to the cross. Never again would Jesus preach and teach in the land of Galilee. Never again would the people be healed or see a miracle. And by God's grace, these 10 lepers heard about Jesus coming in the midst, in the borderland between Galilee and Samaria. And they understand, perhaps they understood how Jesus had healed other lepers. And they cry out, "Lord, have mercy upon us." We don't know if they were part of a larger leper community. We don't know if these 10 tried to persuade other people to go along with them, and many didn't. We just simply aren't told these things. But these 10 fully came to Jesus believing that he would heal them. In our day, there are many different types of diseases that have similar problems, like the Ebola plague that is happening even now again in Africa. And people are dying. And it is scary because there seems to be little way of being able to prevent it or be able to cure people. And it's that same fear that these people had. Now, with a Ebola plague, people die relatively quickly. But with leprosy, it is really called the living death, because boils break out on the skin. Because there's no feeling in your hands, you do things with your hands, and gradually your digits fall off, and eventually you die. But God also commanded in the Old Testament that these people, these lepers, be separated from the community, primarily because leprosy is so contagious. But he also instructed the people of Israel that they were to provide for these people who were separated. Because in one sense, the separation shows what sin is like. Sin separates us from God. Sin and leprosy are like death. There is no cure. At that time, there was no cure for leprosy. And there is no cure among us for sin. The 10 lepers kept away for a reason. They were able to cry out words, even with their voices, "Lord, Master, have mercy on us." This was a cry of faith in the one who was able, and they believed could help them and cure them. Now, there was no reason Jesus had to listen to their cry and prayer. One more miracle would not convince his enemies that he was the Messiah. He didn't have to help them, especially since one of them was a Samaritan. With his impending death on his mind, why should Jesus pay attention to these lepers? Did they deserve more mercy than other lepers? When we ask God for mercy each Sunday, are they just words that we say in the liturgy? Do we not come to church burdened with our sins, as thought, word, and deed, as we have confessed this morning? Are we not heartbroken over the ways in which we have failed to obey God's word and have broken his commandments? Do we care about others just as Jesus has cared for the people? Are we living according to God's will? Do we then trust that God will hear our cry for mercy and forgiveness and actually do forgive us our sins? And so the question is, how important is that word of absolution at the beginning of the service to us? We hear from that word of absolution that God has forgiven our sins. And Jesus told us that we are to hear that word as if God himself has spoken it. because he has promised whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Dear friends, without God's mercy, you and I would be in trouble on Judgment Day. Now, in his mercy, Jesus heard the cry of these 10 lepers. He took pity on their plight. He did not withhold his mercy and his help to them as they cried for him. And so he simply told them, go show yourselves to the priests. Through Moses, God had commanded that if anybody thought that they were healed, they would go to the priests and have sacrifices made. They would stay with the priest 7 days, and if at the end of that week there were no further boils on their skin, the priest could pronounce them healed and cleansed, and therefore sent back into the community. But if there was, in 7 days, any other signs of the disease, they would have to be sent back to the leper colony. When Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest, there was an implied promise that they would be healed, that they had need to go to the priest in order to be pronounced clean. So it was an act of faith for these 10 to leave Jesus and go on their way, believing that that word of promise was true. And as they carried on their journey, they discovered that their skin was like a baby, that whatever was wrong with them was completely healed. You can imagine their joy of living for years with living death, and now all of a sudden have life. People could start their life over again. They could be with their families. They could worship in the temple. They could do many things, all because of the mercy that Jesus showed to them. But only one expressed the desire to return to give thanks to Jesus. Only one felt the need to give thanks. Did he argue with the other 9? Did they mock him and say that he was disobeying God's command by not going to the priest? Did they see thanksgiving as a waste of time because they were eager to get with their families? But dear friends, this man's cry of thanksgiving is the one that is blessed. Think about what these 10 men experienced. Life from death. It is like a man diagnosed with virulent cancer, and the doctors finally say, you have no cancer at all. It's like those people that were in that cave, unable to get out until divers came and rescued them. How do you think that they felt in the joy of being able to live and not die in that cave? But they were more concerned about their healing and their leprosy than they were about giving thanks. And so the 9 went on not giving thanks, and they missed out on a blessing. This text is often used on Thanksgiving Day in order to urge us to give thanks to the God. And it is a good text used for that purpose. We can hear the hurt in Jesus' voice when he says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now, it's not that Jesus was miffed because he was snubbed. It's not because Jesus was upset because people refused to give thanks to him. It's simply that they missed out on the greater blessing of worshiping Jesus, of giving thanks to him, to God, for his great gifts, and the blessing of mercy, greater mercy. It's easy for us to hear about God's forgiveness each Sunday. It's easy for us to declare and know that Jesus died on the cross. It's easy for us to receive the Lord's Supper and think that it's due to us. We deserve it, to think that these things are, we can take them for granted. And dear friends, we should not, because each Sunday we come as beggars. before the Lord, acknowledging our sins. Each Sunday, we acknowledge that if it weren't for God's mercy, we would be lost, condemned creatures and sinners. God, in his mercy, has been given blessed to us. And even when we come each Sunday and confess the same sins over and over and over again, God still is willing to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How can God do this when he must punish sin? The answer is because he's punished his Son in our place. That's why God sent Jesus into this world, to be the substitute for us, to be the one who would live under the law and keep it in our place, and to be the one who would sacrifice his life as a ransom for all, to give up his blood, to shed his blood on the cross, to pay the punishment of our sins. This is God's love. This is his healing will. This is his mercy and grace, that Jesus did it to people who didn't deserve it. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for our sins. God so loved the world, that is, the world of sinners, because he wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God so loved the world because he wants us in heaven. But we cannot be in heaven unless we are holy. And we cannot be holy unless we have God's grace, God's forgiveness, through faith in Jesus Christ. And because Jesus loved us, he healed us from our sins. We therefore should glorify God the Holy Spirit for bringing us to faith and for keeping us in that faith, the faith in Jesus, trusting that Jesus has done all to save us, trusting that Jesus' promises are true. Whoever sees the Son and believes in him has everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's God's words, God's promise. And because Jesus died and rose again, that promise is true. It is also God's grace to you and to me that he has forgiven us our sins and gives us eternal life. If we appreciate these gifts from God, should we not, like that Samaritan leper that was healed, return to give thanks to God and glorify him for his grace and mercy, to praise and thank and sing hallelujahs for all that God has done? Even if the majority refuses to do so, you and I are called upon to praise and glorify God with our lips, with our hearts, with our lives, to glorify him who is so loving to us. The Samaritan leper had only one thought: to fall down on his face before Jesus and to praise him and thank him for healing. And yet this Samaritan had a greater blessing, because Jesus said, "Go your way, your faith has made you whole," or made you well. Now, we have to be careful with this phrase. Jesus is not saying that because the Samaritan had faith in Jesus, that that's what made him well. Only God could make and heal a leper. Only by God's grace could this happen. However, because of the faith in the Messiah that this leper had, this Samaritan had, he returned for that blessing, that his faith was genuine, that he was trusting in the Messiah. And the wellness that Jesus was talking about was not his body, but his soul, the forgiveness of sins. And this is what we all share with that leper. So our text for today shows us that Jesus is merciful, that he answers prayers, that he heals the 10 lepers as he has healed us. Since God has done all of this for us, may we also, in our worship life and in our whole life, give thanks to him, to glorify him as the most important thing in our lives, to direct our thoughts to him so that we depend on him for all things, And so that other people may know that we glorify him, that they may ask, well, why are you so happy? Why are you blessing the Lord? Why are you so confident in this life when you have troubles? And you can say, because God loves me, because Jesus died for me, because he has promised me eternal life in heaven. And that is worship and glorifying God also. May the Lord bless us and lead us to do that each and every day of our lives. Amen. Let us rise for the blessing. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.